The book of Mark chapter 5. We're going to take just a few moments. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking tonight is budget night, business meeting night. I understand. And I'm not going to preach a long, long time, okay? But I need to read all of these scriptures so that you get the point, right? 15 verses. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When he had come out of the boat, immediately there he met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones when he saw Jesus from afar. And he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. We'll stop there. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Storm, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a very rich passage, and there's a lot that could be preached from this passage, but have one main idea. And I want to begin with just reminding you, as we read Bible stories, we consider them Bible stories, right? And we look at them as Bible stories. But I want you to know these are not Bible stories as bedtime stories or fiction stories. These are facts of the life of Jesus. It really happened, okay? And in this history lesson, if you will, this factual story, we meet a man whose life was basically useless. He spent his life, it says, living among the tombs. He was demon-possessed. His days, his nights were in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine what a useless, hopeless life this would have been? People even tried to help him. They did what they could. They tried to tie him up so he wouldn't hurt himself. He'd break free. They would chain him. He would break the chains. They would put shackles on him. He would break the shackles. He was in a position that no one, it says, could tame him. No one. That word tame means to bring under control. His life, again, useless and beyond help. And I want you to think of the power that held this man. I mean, it's just a sad story. Especially if you look at it the way we look at people today. Okay? He said, as Jesus was interviewing this man, he said, "What's your name?" Of course, the demons that possessed the man spoke for him. And they said, that their name was Legion, because there were many. Now, we don't know exactly how many demons had possessed this man or were dwelling inside this man. We know that a legion was 5,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers in a unit. Can you imagine being under the control of 5,000 demons? You talk about hopeless. Talk about beyond help. A life that was in terrible shape. And it's at this point I want to take a break. Because see, as long as we look at it as this man who roamed the mountains in the Bible, and it's just a story. But I want you to think for just a moment of the lives today and the power of the evil that controls lives today. Watch the news. Find the stories about the drive-by shootings. And Beth shared with me a story from apparently Little Rock, where an act of road rage, a grandmother was taking her 3-year-old grandbaby Christmas shopping, and some guy shot into the car, killed the 3-year-old baby. You're thinking, what kind of person would do such a thing? Well, I'm sure he didn't mean to. He's probably shooting at the lady, but it doesn't matter what kind of person would shoot into a car. You know? You look at the lives that are torn by drugs, and do you ever look at people and say, you're just hopeless? Just hopeless. The people that are controlled by alcoholism, that all they live for is the next drink, do you ever just look and say, man, you're messed up? And often we look at them as though you'll never change. There's no hope for you. Wrong. You see, as I read this incident in the life of Jesus, I'm reminded that the power of the Jesus that you and I know far exceeds the power of the evil that destroys lives today. You know? And what I want you to get is, this is the same Jesus that told these demons to depart and that gave them permission to go into the pigs. And even the pigs weren't willing to live with the demons. All 2,000 of them run into the sea and kill themselves, you know. But this Jesus that took that situation under control, delivered that man, is the same Jesus that we say that we have faith in today, right? And I want you to look at the transformation. After he told the demons to depart from the man, they come back and says they found the man clothed and in his right mind. They found the man clothed and in his right mind, talking to Jesus. What I want you to get is, this guy was as bad as it gets, but Jesus made a difference. We live in a rough world. Every day, from day to day, even around Russellville, you'll see people who are homeless, who feel very helpless. You'll see drug addicts that you probably don't even want to talk to because just the sight of them is scary. You'll see families that are torn apart, and it just seems so useless because of the evil that has such a grasp on them. But I want to tell you, Jesus is still the answer. And the first step to changing our society is when we, as God's people, realize that the same Jesus that delivered this man from demon possession is the same Jesus that we claim to have faith in today. And when we realize that's the power we're dealing with, then we realize how much the people around us need this Jesus. You see? This is the life-changing difference that Jesus can make when you look at this demon-possessed man. You look around you, whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whether it's just acquaintances, do you realize that Jesus truly can make a difference in those lives? And if we realize that He can, guess what we're going to do? We're going to give them the answer to the trouble in their lives. If you had a cure for cancer, would you share it with somebody? Wouldn't you? Absolutely. If you had a cure for the common cold, would you share it with somebody? You have the cure for the evil of this life that is destroying homes and families and individuals. That cure is Jesus Christ. He still delivers people as good today as He did 2,000 years ago when He walked this earth. Jesus still works. What's the challenge? We need to realize the power that's there. I want to tell you, this morning I got excited when two people were saved. That's good stuff. That fires a preacher up when people are saved. But you know what I saw? I saw two lives left here changed, different than the way they came in. You know what my thought was? This afternoon I was in my study, my thought was, Lord, I want to see that again. I want to see more of that. And you know what? When you and I live with the realization and the confidence that Jesus makes a difference, we will see more of that. Because we'll more readily share Him with the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. You know? We talk to people, and I've so... Oh, I've got to hush. We talk to people and we so often say, I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'll just keep my beliefs to myself. But you know what? We shouldn't care about hurting their feelings. We should care about delivering them from the evil that controls their life. Don't stop telling people about Jesus. Don't stop preaching Jesus. Don't stop every opportunity that you have. Jesus makes a difference. Tell somebody. Okay? Live it like you say you believe it. That's the challenge.